women have a unique role in creation. Women are the nurturers, the birth givers, the more spiritual of the genders. And Torah teaches that women have a special status. Join Mashi Lipska for the next hour as she expounds the Torah wisdom specific to women. Only on 101.9 High FM.
A good Erev Shabbos. Delighted to be with you. But what an Erev Shabbos it is. Not the easiest time for us. This is the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and it's Erev Shabbos Chazon. This is the third of the three Shabbatot, the three Shabbosim in the 3 weeks. And each one of these weeks, there's a very special Haftarah read, and it is about destruction. How do we go forward during a time like this? This is a time right before Tisha B'Av, and it's not an easy time generally in the world for our nation, almost 2 years of war. So we look at the Chumash, we look at the Torah reading, and we see that the nation is poised to enter the Holy Land. We see that Moshe has started. Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher Moshe, has started his 36-day talk to the people. This talk is so filled with memories, with pain, with love. Here is a leader encouraging his people on the last 36 days of his life, telling them about their past together and their glorious future, telling them how everything they've gone through must now be applied. It must be applied to the glorious future that awaits them. We too are poised for the ultimate redemption. But it doesn't look like it's there yet. And we keep thinking, it's going to happen. It's going to happen now. Look what just happened. Look at this miracle. And then we look at the pain of all the losses. Then we look, we're bewildered at how the nations of the world don't understand how so many have turned against us. What are we meant to think at a time like this? And Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that we are an Am Chacham V'Navon. We are a wise and understanding people. Now the word Navon, from the word Bina, is someone who can understand or infer something from something else. What we have right now is unfinished business. The pasuk tells us that we are Am Chacham V'Navon. We also read, we also are told, who is a Chacham? Who is a wise person? Ezehu Chacham Haroyeh Es Hanoylod. Someone who can see the eventuality. Anyone can look at what they see in front of their eyes. That looks like a tree. In truth, it's a tower for reception for your cell phone. I only see that it looks like a tree. A Navon, a Chacham, will understand that this is not exactly what it is. It's not just what it looks like. A Chacham can see what it will be, what its worth is. Even looking at a tree that will produce fruit or shade. You don't just see the obvious, you're able to see beyond. And our job right now is to understand that this job is not finished. As it were, when you come and you see a potter, he's sitting with dirty hands with this clay, you don't see the finished product. all of this is what we need to take to heart right now. We need to put our minds, we need to think and understand that Hashem, who is creator of heaven and earth, beyond, it's not like we don't understand him. It is beyond any word that we can use. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His words are not our words. These terms are just used for us to try that in the analogy we can relate a little bit. Hashem, creator of this awesome heaven and earth, the galaxies, the planets, the angels, physical and spiritual worlds, has created this magnificent creation. He must have a reason. Through the creation, through studying his world, through studying his Torah, we begin to understand and we hold on to the fact that there's a reason behind everything, beyond what we can understand. He directs every detail. If you look under a microscope and you begin to see what's underneath the surface, you begin to understand this is bigger than anything that we can understand. And so the beautiful example is given of the miracle of birth, which mirrors the miracle of redemption. Let's think about a baby in the womb. The baby is totally hidden. The baby is not seen. Through different signs, we know that a baby is expected. Eventually, the baby is born. And the umbilical cord is cut, and he's severed from his previous source of nourishment, his mother. And he enters the world with 10 fingers, 10 toes, a living, breathing, autonomous human being, a child with a future has entered the world. All of us who've been blessed with Kinderlach, with children, have experienced that wonder of meeting the child, the awe, the wonder, a full person. And at that moment, the pain of the labor is forgotten. And this is overwhelming recognition that we have just experienced, witnessed a miracle. Everything before this is a mystery. The infant's development from conception, entering 1 month of pregnancy, 2 months of pregnancy, the development of this child is shrouded in mystery. And it's beset by paradox. But it bears testimony to the wisdom of the Creator, which we cannot fathom, which we cannot understand, we cannot begin to relate to. It is a miracle. It is beyond our ability to fathom. Our holy Rebbes draw a parallel between the birth of a child and the journey of the Jewish people from Galus to Geula, from Galut to Geula, from exile to redemption. And the child in the womb is like our people in the time of Galut, of exile. And the moment of birth is like deliverance, redemption, please God, with the coming of Mashiach, speedily in our time. It's from darkness to light. It's from mystery to revelation. We know there's a baby expected. We know we expect Mashiach. And the times we're going through are obviously difficult times. Difficult, difficult times. It's time where the goodness is hidden. It's the time of Golus. And when we picture the child curled up in the womb, we picture the child with his head resting between his knees, His heart is beating, but he seems only half alive. He's got all his organs, all his parts, but he doesn't yet have use of his senses. He's got eyes, but he cannot see. He's got ears, but he cannot really properly express what he's hearing. The breath of life will come into him only at the moment of birth. And he's developing phenomenally, but he's being nourished by his mother. And he's growing and he's developing. And where does the food come in? Not through his mouth, but through his open navel, through his stomach. And the head is without function, without purpose, without vitality. Where is the head? It's resting between the knees. What a thought. Between the knees. And the child stays there. He's powerless to emerge into the light of day. He's powerless to start functioning in the world until the moment of birth. It's a phenomenal thought. It's an unbelievable parable. Dis-Chem, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic for Adults, offers you convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks, God forbid. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, and they include female health screening. They offer you pap smears, family planning, pregnancy screening, and they're fast, they're affordable, and they're done with such care. So find your nearest Dis-Chem wellness clinic inside. Dis-Chem Pharmacies, better health starts right here.
You're listening to Conversations with Mashi only on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, I'm Mashi Lipsker, a good Erev Shabbos. And what an Erev Shabbos it is. It's Erev Shabbos, and we're always grateful when Shabbos comes. We can prepare. We can invite friends. More time to go to shul. More time to pray. More time to study. More time to connect with friends. Wonderful food for Shabbos. But this Shabbos, we have the obligation to make it more beautiful than any other Shabbos in the year. Because any other Shabbos, whatever we do, it's in honor of Shabbos. But if there's anything missing this Shabbos, it can, God forbid, be associated with the fact that we're dreading Tisha B'Av. We want to change that headspace. Number one, we want to make this Shabbos more beautiful, more lavish, more elegant, in whichever way we can honor it. We need to remember that we need to see beyond the obvious, and that's what this Shabbos is about. It's called Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbos of vision. We need to envisage, and if we really do, because this is the word for prophecy, seeing the future, then we are doing our part in bringing redemption. We need to be positive, and we need to see what's about to come. And the analogy given by the Rebbe is that pregnancy is like exile, and birth is like redemption. And we're speaking about this unborn child lying in the dark, confined, not eating through its mouth, but through its navel, not speaking, not seeing. And the warmth and darkness of the womb may be associated with comfort and security. If that's what we think, we need to actually see what the Rebbes have told us. They see pregnancy, or they see that darkness, or the warmth and comfort. They see it as confinement and imprisonment. We need to remember that we are much more than just a being that needs to be fed, a being that needs to be protected. The exile of Egypt, the first exile, is called Galut Mitzrayim. And the root and the source of all the exiles that followed, and that word Mitzrayim, as we've spoken often, comes from the Hebrew word Meitzar, narrow, constricted, limited. Our people in exile are denied the freedom to exercise their Jewishness. Sometimes it's because of persecution and assimilation, ignorance, anti-Semitism. The darkness of the womb symbolizes the spiritual darkness of exile. We don't know who we are. We don't realize who we are. We're not in touch with our soul. Yes, there are people who study Torah. There are tzaddikim. There are people who are in touch. Nevertheless, they're in pain because the majority of us are not all that we could or should be. The majority of us are not in touch with our essence, which is our soul. And picture the child in the womb. He eats without pleasure or desire. And although there are exceptions, the Jewish people as a whole keep Torah and mitzvot without joy, without vitality, by rote, instead of serving Hashem with a loving soul, with fire, with yearning. Most of the time we serve Him mechanically, out of the force of habit. Shame. The picture is incomplete. Let us not be unwise. Let us be wise and understanding, and understand that the picture, this bleak picture, is incomplete. Just as pregnancy is necessary for the birth of a baby, so too is the darkness of exile just a preamble to the dawn of redemption. We will be born. We will emerge into a light that is so unimaginable. It's something that we cannot even fathom at the moment. But let's go back for a moment to the embryo, that baby. The poor, maligned little guy inside. True, he's limited. He's just a limited little creature. He's a long way off from achieving his potential as a complete human being. But let's not slight him on that account, because there's no other period in a person's life that's as crucial to his future development as those months in the womb. God forbid the slightest variation in his environment or his nourishment, well, can do untold good or chas v'shalom great harm to the baby that will soon be born. So what does that have to do with us? We are like in the era, in the time, in the months, in the years, in the centuries, but now it's in the days, where our Torah and our good deeds are all that we have to take with us when we go forward to greet the Mashiach. We're going to meet Mashiach soon. And yes, our performance of Torah may be on a low level. Our study of Torah and our mitzvahs, they may not be with the fire and the realization that we will have when Mashiach comes. And then we will learn with such awareness, because knowledge of Hashem will fill the earth as water covers the sea. Umola ha'aretz deos Hashem kamayim layom mechasim. But the days we're in now have a distinct advantage over the times of the future. We are in darkness, but light is more precious when it comes out of darkness. At a time like now, when the world has sunk to a level of jungle, There's violence, there's darkness, there's lawlessness. Even a single good deed shines forth with great brilliance, is so appreciated by Hashem, is so a light in the darkness. It is so noticed. It is so treasured. And even though our spiritual state may seem at a low level during our time now, the time of exile, especially during our times, but there's one particular source of power within us that has sustained us throughout our galus, our exile, and that's the power of self-sacrifice, and that's the power that we're seeing now shining in our people. When a Jew is put to the test, when our bond to Yiddishkeit, no matter how tenuous, is threatened, we have an inner dormant love and fear of Hashem that gets awakened, and we're ready to give up all we have, even life itself, for the sake of that bond with Hashem. Is that not what we're seeing in Eretz Yisrael and in other places like Iran? When we say Shema Yisrael, we affirm God's oneness. It awakens that power within us and helps us prepare for the time of Mashiach. We are actually living in awesome times. We are living in times when we have seen the greatest love for Hashem, unity for the Holy Land, love for the Torah, love for each other, emerge and shine from the darkness that's shining this incredible light. Exile, like pregnancy, has a purpose. When the, quote, 9 months have passed, it is the time for the baby to be born. The Rebbe has told us so many times with increasing urgency that the coming of Mashiach is overdue. And those words have spread throughout the world, and they are being felt, they're being sensed everywhere. The preparations have been made. All the limits have been reached. What is keeping Mashiach? And we're told it's like the children have come to the breaking point and there's no strength left to give birth. We have to gather our strength to bring forth the redemption. Before Mashiach, it's something called Chevlei Mashiach, the birth pangs, the suffering. In the days preceding the coming of Mashiach, they are all like the labor pains. As it says, like a woman coming close to labor, crying out in pain, so are we before you, Hashem. We call out, we scream out, we cry out. And indeed, to bring Mashiach, we have to feel the pain of exile, the urgency. The Jewish people must feel the pain of galus. They must, our sages tell us, cry out to Hashem from the depths of their hearts. We have to beg Hashem, how much more? Ad Mosai, Ad Matai. We have to feel the bitterness of exile, and we do. And we must feel our distance, our separation from our Father in heaven. The closer to the birth, the more intense the pain. And now is the time we must cry, Ad Mosai. How much longer? It's a cry that comes from saying to Hashem, I can't bear this anymore. How much must a person bear? The cry of a person who just can't anymore. And just when the pain of labor becomes unbearable, the baby's born. Wow, all the obstacles melt away. The suffering is transformed into joy. Em habanim smecha. The mother of the child is happy. And at the moment of birth, all the foreign matter surrounding the baby separates, falls away. The baby emerges pure and clean. And so will it be with the coming of Mashiach. All the false ideals and the foreign ideologies that don't belong to Hashem will fall away. And all of us, the Jewish people, will remain clean, clean of hand, pure of heart. And we will go forward to meet Mashiach. It's soon, soon. And all of us here are ready, getting readier by the moment. As we see in the Parsha, we need to remember the love of Hashem. We need to understand He's yearning for us to do our little part, which is to remember Him, to call out to Him. He loves us. He adores us. We need to develop a little more of our love for Him. So let's look in the Torah this week. Moshe is reminding the people of how they behaved. For example, how they reacted when the meraglim, the scouts, the spies came back and gave a report that they had spied out the land and that Hashem hates us. He wants to bring us into the land to kill us. That was what the people said when they heard how great the giants of that land are. And how the spies who went out as tzaddikim, they misread the situation. They put their own agenda of not wanting to work the land. They put it between them and God's greater plan. They want to stay in the Midbar, study the Torah, which they had been doing for the last 40 years. And they accused Hashem of ill will toward them. And they accused, they said, this nation is so strong. It's stronger, chas v'shalom, than Hashem. And Moshe is reminding them in this week's parsha. He says to them, v'teirognu v'aleichem, you slandered God in your tents. V'toimru, and you said, b'sinat Hashem otanu, hotzianu meretz Mitzrayim, because God hates us. That's why He took us out of the land of Egypt. And the date of when this happened is literally tomorrow, Erev Tisha B'Av, tomorrow night, on the 8th of Av into the 9th. This was the original forgetting about Hashem. And until Mashiach comes, and there will no longer be any obstacles stopping us from seeing Hashem's goodness and seeing the opportunities that He gives us, times will come where we will mistake God's love for cruelty. Our challenge now, until Mashiach comes, is to remain fully aware that Hashem at all times is showing us love, even if sometimes, occasionally, it looks like the opposite. We have to work at remaining conscious of this love, and it will inspire us to reciprocate the love by keeping the mitzvot to the best of our ability. And that will eliminate the last blocks, the last impediments to the final ge'ula. Our part is to trust and to love that this is good, and that will bring the goodness into revelation. Well,
you're listening to Conversations with Mashi only on 101.9 High FM.
I'm Mashi Lipsker. On this Erev Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos before the 9th of Av, it is important that we realize that Mashiach is nearly here, and that any good deed that we do can actually tip the balance for all of creation. And we were speaking that in the Parsha, Moshe's reminding the people of the mistakes that they made. And these mistakes were pivotal in keeping them in the desert for the entire journey of 40 years, 38 plus years. And people kept slipping into negativity. And we mentioned that when the spies came back, when the scouts came back, and they intimated that even Hashem cannot conquer the strong giants in the Holy Land, the people said, Hashem hates us. Hashem took us out of Egypt because he hates us. He's going to kill us in the desert. And we slandered God in our tents. There are obstacles. There is darkness until Mashiach comes. We have to remember that Hashem only loves us, and that our part is to remember that he loves us, and then the love will become more open. How do we remember he loves us? We must actually nurture our soul with a mitzvah and another mitzvah, according to tzedakah, lighting a Shabbos candles in the right time with the right bracha, and reaching out to other people to help them nourish and to help them bring their souls alive, present in their lives. Like our body needs food, our souls need mitzvahs. And every extra mitzvah makes us more sensitive to God's love, to the spirituality that is the reality. And in Israel, there's a beautiful song that everybody's singing. And it reflects this. Who's singing it? All the soldiers, the people who have suffered and are suffering. They've lost their homes. They've lost their friends. They've lost their spouses. They've lost limbs. They've lost parents. And what are they singing? Hashem Elokim tamid ohev oti. The Lord always loves me. V'tamid yehi rak tov. And it will always be only good for me. What a perspective. Not to waste your time on the pain, let the pain actually propel you to think, to reflect, not to take the surface, not to just see from the outside. That is our job now. Chazon, to have the vision. What is the path to redemption? Moshe then reminds the Jewish people that after they heard that God was planning to keep them in the desert for 40 years, some of them decided they're going to attempt to enter the land on their own. Spies had been sent, and the report had come back, and most of the people believed it. But as soon as they heard of the punishment, suddenly they sobered up. No, no, they said, let's go up. We will. We want to listen to Hashem. But because they went against Hashem's will, and now Hashem wasn't buying into it, the ark wasn't going to go up with them, and Moshe was not going to lead them up, the nations who lived near the border of the land repelled them, repulsed them. And Moshe reminded them, you rebelled against Hashem's command. You willfully ascended the mountain because these Jews had done teshuvah. They repented and now they wanted to go up to the Holy Land. So what's so bad? We're taught that teshuvah always opens doors. Nothing stands in the way of repentance. The answer is, the land could only be conquered with Moshe's leadership, with the presence of the Holy Ark and the Torah going with them. Of course, repentance could ease the sins of the people, but it would not change the procedure that was necessary to enter the land and acquire the land. And since these people had been unwilling to submit to the leadership of Moshe, and even though he said, don't go, they said, we'll go on our own. Hashem rejected that initiative. So how are we going to get to Mashiach in our time? The Rebbe says the same is true in our day. The Torah has prescribed a precise procedure for Mashiach's times. But he says it's also for every form of personal ge'ulah, personal redemption. We can't bypass these steps. Any attempt to bystep the process won't succeed. Like any success in an endeavor, we can only bring Mashiach close when we conform with Hashem's plan. And what does Hashem say? Study the Torah. Seek out the guidance of a qualified Torah scholar to know how we need to behave in our lives. For every aspect of life, seek out an authentic mentor. There are many decisions we have to make in life, many detours, many challenges come our way. Let us not forget, we need to be guided by Torah.
You're listening to Conversations with Mashi only on 101.9 High FM.
I'm Mashi Lipsker. Wonderful to be with you. Erev Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. Let's remember that it is our Jewish unity that makes every other nation weaker than us. We have it in the Parsha. Moshe told the people, he encouraged them. He said, you delivered a devastating defeat to the two Amorite kings, and there was no city that was too strong for us, because Jewish unity is different, and we were united. Jewish unity is not like any other unity. We find that when we came to Sinai, the Torah says we were like one man with one heart. We were like one man with one heart. Whereas when Pharaoh chased after us into the sea, it says it was with one heart like one man. Our unity is different because our neshama is united. We are one soul. Our heart is one. We are like one entity. It's not based on a reason, a lev echad, but it's an inborn, innate unity. And we've seen it has emerged in the Holy Land. It was always there. How do we nurture that innate unity with Torah and mitzvot? And we see it. The soldiers want tefillin. They want tzitzit. They shout Shema Yisrael. They want a Torah. They are keeping Shabbat. True devotion to Torah and mitzvot nurtures us. It nurtures our inner spirit, and it brings it out. Our love for Hashem blossoms. Our love for Torah blossoms. Our love for each other blossoms. Our love for Eretz Yisrael blossoms. They're all mitzvot. So it's all in the Torah. When we are dedicated to Torah and we have a Torah mentor, it brings out our inner beauty, our inner strength, our true essence. Another beautiful story. Think about this. A young doctor, a pediatrician, came to see the Rebbe. He confessed he was troubled and sometimes even angered by questions of why Hashem allows such suffering. He was a baby doctor, a pediatrician, and he saw these terribly ill children. And he and the Rebbe had a conversation on the meaning of suffering. And then the Rebbe said, if you're angry at Hashem, you may be harming the child's chances for a miracle. Instead of being angry with Hashem, be grateful for the opportunity to be involved in a miracle. And this, sighed the Rebbe, might help bring the miracle into being. It might help to bring about the miracle. Faith is the human miracle we give God. He's waiting for our bitachon. Healing is the divine miracle he gives us back. We mustn't forget the part we need to play. We're shouting at Hashem, yes, but our part in bringing redemption is to remain strong, positive, and active. We don't want to, God forbid, jeopardize the redemption that's nearly here. We need to play our part in it. So getting angry at the wrong things is not our job. Our doesn't help anyone. Our job is to do. This is a world of action. This is a world of mitzvahs. And we will end with this story. It was many years ago, during the 1960s, and a young shaliach became a campus rabbi. So he puts an ad in the university paper promoting his activities and what he offered for the upcoming chagim, for the festivals. And the clever ad called on Jewish students to take up arms for the cause of liberty, like your radical ancestors in Egypt. And he played on contemporary themes, which he thought would resonate with the students. He was really proud of the modern design, the clever terminology. He sends a copy of the ad to the Rebbe, and he expects the Rebbe to congratulate him. Listen to the message the Rebbe sent back. In future advertisements for Jewish festivals, remember to mention the relevant mitzvot that must be fulfilled. Like, don't get so carried away with the inspiration that you leave out the information. Our information is Torah and mitzvot. An extra mitzvah might just put the whole thing over the top. We are empowered to do certain things. It's not to question God's wisdom. Of course, we must be hurting when someone else is hurting, but our energy must go into positivity and action. We must see the future. This is a Shabbos of vision. We must envisage not the unfinished product, but the finished product. We must see beyond the obvious. And then, please God, Hashem will give us the revelation, the birth of the redemption. Good Shabbos.